This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
The House Taxation Committee will now come to order. I'd like to welcome those who are here with us in our committee room, as well as those listening on the Internet. Just as a reminder, make sure your cell phones are turned off or turned to silent so we don't have any interruptions for the morning meeting. And with that, I'd ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Representatives Bartlett.
Here.
Thiel.
Here.
Duvall.
Here.
Hager.
Here.
Killer. Hirschman.
Here.
Latterell. May. Nordstrom, Rasmussen,
here.
Russell, Wick, Willitson,
here.
Rosen,
here.
Solem,
here.
Nordstrom,
here.
Okay, we have a quorum, and at this time, you know, since we didn't have a meeting or two since our last gathering, we still need. To have our minutes approved. Representative Willitson, would you offer that motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Willitson moved. We approve the minutes as written.
Thank you, Representative. Okay. And so that motion by Representative Willitson, seconded by Representative Rosen. All in favor of that motion will say aye.
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 Opposed? The minutes are approved. There. We have three pages with us this morning, and thank you for your assistance. Please come up and introduce yourself and tell us who you are, where you're from, and where you're going.
My name is Andrew Flannery. I'm from Elk Point. Go to Elk Point Jefferson High School. Not sure where I'm going to go next year for college. I got to wait for my acceptance letters, but somewhere nice. And then probably major in like biology.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Ashley Van Meteren, and I'm from Yankton, South Dakota, and I plan on going to USD and majoring in political science.
Wow. Are you going to be up here with us someday?
Hopefully.
Look at that, a girl.
Hi, my name is Cameron Ducker, and I'm from Gettysburg, South Dakota, and I plan to go into fashion merchandising, but I'm unsure of where as of now.
Very good. Thank you. Appreciate your help. As a reminder, the pages are here to help us throughout our committee process, so if you have any handouts or anything, our pages are here to assist. We have one bill this morning. Just as a reminder, I would want to make sure that if you plan on testifying as a proponent or opponent on this bill, please sign in at the back of the at the podium in the back of the room. And with that, I know we have a couple call-ins, but with that, I'm going to open up testimony on Senate Bill 112, which is an act to revise certain provisions concerning tax increment districts. And with that, good morning, Senator Valle, as a proponent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. Today I bring to you Senate Bill 112, which is a fix to a small glitch in our tax increment finance statutes. And, oh, I didn't tell who I was. I'm sorry. Apologize.
We all know who you are, but yes. For the record, I appreciate it. Thank you.
My name is Mike Valle, State Senator from District 20, Davis and Aurora and Girald Counties. Thank you. I got excited. Just so you know, I'm in Judiciary Committee at the same time, and we've got seven bills, and we're going to go through them today and then meet back at noon, and hopefully you don't have to meet again after session. So I'm walked out of there. We started early, and hopefully I'm probably going to leave after I make my remarks because this is technical, and you're better off asking the technical questions to the people that are going to be on the phone. So with that, tax increment financing, you know, is a very important economic development tool for infrastructure financing. And when they modernized that code in 2011, this particular area was overlooked. And if you're following this, the original bill we had went further than we're asking here today. We've tailored that back, and that's why it says it's a hog house. And that's what we want you to consider here today. We found some other things while we're working on it, and the Department of Revenue was very good in helping us work through those issues. The bill today only deals with small modifications to project plans if a TIF has already been established and costs come in a bit higher than originally anticipated. Now, make sure we understand, this bill does not enlarge a TIF territory. It does not increase the amount of the increment. It does not change how a TIFs are approved, and it does not make it any easier to create a TIF. It only deals with how a project plan is amended and goes forward when additional costs have come in at no more than 35% of the original plan. Now, you're asking why? Well, in most cases, project plans, they consist of estimates. And it may be a few years between the time that the estimates were made and the project construction actually gets started. These costs, increased costs in construction, can be due to a lot of things. Sometimes it's transportation costs. It could be all kinds of different prices or any cost increases that were not able to be predicted when the initial estimates were made. But it still has to all be done within that five-year period. It further clarifies that the increment will have to be redetermined if the project costs come in at more than 35% of the original project plan. Now, two communities stumbled into this at about the same time, and that's how this was developed. And now after the bill's been here, there's been several others that raise their hand and says, yeah, boy, I wish we would have done this because we had the same problem. All of the parties to this bill have come into agreement. I want to thank the Department of Revenue for their assistance in making this better. And I would encourage your support of Senate Bill 112. And since this is very technical at times, we have a lawyer that's on the phone from Mitchell and also our economic development director there who can guide you through probably more specific questions. And I would turn it to them at a later point in time that you can ask them. And with that, I think I'm going to return to Senate Judiciary, and I appreciate your positive consideration of Senate Bill 112 for our very important TIF projects. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. And out of respect for the Senator, are there any questions for Senator Volley at this point in time? Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Go to work, Senator. We'll take it from here. Thank you. Further proponents for Senate Bill 112? Is there a preference? Do you have two on the?
Brian Heisel should be.
Are you on the phone, Brian?
Mr. Chairman, good morning. Brian Heisel and members of the committee. Brian Heisel, director of Mitchell Area Development Corporation. Also online with me is Don Peterson. Legal counsel for Mitchell Area Development and part of the Morgan Thieler firm here in Mitchell. If I may, I'd like to provide brief comments and stand by for questions from members of the committee. Senator Valley articulated the key reasons that we looked at this. We know the pragmatic problems that when you're developing an area, you have a five-year window. We've run into situations where the volatility in the commodities market, specifically petroleum, has caused 35% increases, 50% increases or more over the life of a project where we're trying to put in roads, water, and sewer lines. Petroleum impacts PVC prices, with the key item to water and sewer and storm sewer lines, and asphalt, and it's hard to project. You put some contingency, you try to put 10% contingency in, but oftentimes those estimates are blown apart. And I think all of you thinking about today's current petroleum prices, you would take an average over a five-year period, but no one can predict exactly what it will be 3 or 4 years from now. And these projects are often multi-year, where you're developing out an industrial park. You have multiple phases that you're trying to do over a relatively over a multiple years. In the very first tax increment district that we did in 1995, we had a situation where we ran into bad soils and had to completely redo the site. Had a $230,000 cost overrun on a $1.1 million project, and it was unforeseen. We had to put in new storm sewer, and those kinds of things happen in construction. If you've ever remodeled a house, you know the kinds of problems you run into. We're also dealing with preliminary estimates in engineering. We're dealing with, and Senator Valley noted that very well. So the ability to go in, right now you can amend a TIF plan, but you can't amend the budget if you have cost increases without essentially destroying the TIF. If you've had a company build a brand new building, you would have to ask the Department of Revenue to recertify, and all of the increment from the new building would be lost. So this allows just a very pragmatic approach to amending. You have to go through the county or city planning commission. The governing body of the county or city would have to approve. So it doesn't make it easier to simply add on costs. It's still difficult, but it does allow for some changes in price structures as you move through a project. I will be available. I urge your support of Senate Bill 112 as amended by the Senate, and appreciate the help from the Department of Revenue. We worked with bond counsel in Sioux Falls, and we worked with financial consultants as well as to the kind of language that would solve this problem. Thank you for your time. I'll be available for questions.
Well, thank you, sir. Did Mr. Peterson have any comments? Or is that a ditto?
That would be a ditto.
Okay. Thank you very much. Just please stand by. We'll have an opportunity, should there be any questions. I would appreciate that. Further proponents for Senate Bill 112. Good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Julie Johnson. I'm a lawyer from Aberdeen and the registered lobbyist for the Mitchell Area Development Corporation on this bill. I've done the economic development tools legislatively with you for many, many, many years. I would remind you of just a couple quick things that haven't necessarily been mentioned. We were deeply involved, the whole legislature was, in 2011 in modernizing the entire TIF chapter of the code, a very good piece of work. I went back to do the whole legislative history on this. We, for some reason, never touched this particular section of the code, and yet we're finding a bunch of little cases like this where it sure would have been handy to do that philosophically, the same with the rest of the chapter of the code in 2011. Let me point out to you also that I will be with you during the entire process of this bill's life, hopefully, if you have any questions of me. I do have a small talking points piece about the bill, if I might hand it out to the committee, Mr. Chairman, in case you need an easy to use piece to describe what this particular bill does. The only other thing I would bring to your attention is that we did work with the Department of Revenue, Mr. Howdyshell and his team, on this bill. They told me this morning they'd probably be on your House floor at the same time this bill was up, and that we were authorized to tell you on their behalf that they are okay with this version of the bill. With that, I'll make myself available for any questions and greatly appreciate your attention to this little tiny glitch that would be very helpful to fix this year.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. Are there any other proponents? Proponents for Senate Bill 112? Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 112? Any opponents? Seeing no opponents, we'll waive the rebuttal, and at this point in time, close the public testimony portion on Senate Bill 112 and open it up for committee questions. Sure. Representative Duvall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I will admit I don't know much about TIFs. My question is, can counties do TIFs, and if so, why are we only allowing a municipality to make this change and not a county? And I don't know who can answer that.
This is Tom Peterson. As Brian Heisel said, I'm counsel for Mitchell Area Development Corporation and have worked with some TIFs. Counties can do TIFs, and the bill would not limit it simply to municipalities. If a TIF can be brought in the city, obviously, if it's within the city limits. A TIF can be brought in the county if it's outside of a city limits. If it's inside of a city limits, it can still be brought through the county, but it requires city permission. So either a county or a city can initiate a TIF.
Ms. Johnson.
And if I might add to that, thank you, Mr. Peterson. We do have that section of the code here in front of us. Municipality in this chapter of the code is defined as any incorporated city or town in the state, and for purposes of the chapter, any county in the state. Not very often does that happen, but
not often at all. Any other questions? Representative Russell.
I, in one of the communities in my district, there was quite a bit of concern at one point about the TIFs that a city was implementing, and the county commissioners got a little bit excited about it and were in contact with us. Is there any mechanism in here where the county, you had just mentioned that a city, a county could develop a TIF within the confines of a city, but had to get city approval. Does the same situation now apply to the counties? And what I mean by that is if a city wants to develop a TIF, does the county have some kind of ability to have a veto or have the same opportunity a city would have where the county's losing certain tax revenues?
Don Peterson, to my knowledge, there is nothing currently contained within the code section which would allow a county to contest a city-created TIF.
And if I could add to that,
certainly.
Mr. Chairman, I think the political reality in most local governments is that they work pretty well together to determine that together, and where that doesn't happen, that's something you and I can't fix. But I think they work pretty well together, including the school districts, to determine what's a good investment in their community.
Yeah, and Julie, to follow up on that, Mr. Chairman, is that I can tell you from personal experience, at least in Davidson County, quite often, if the county commissioners, if it's a city initiated TIF, the county commissioners are certainly welcome and invited to attend the city council meeting and the city planning commission meetings, and do. And so there's always an open dialogue back and forth between the two on tax incremental financing, or at least the opportunity is offered to them.
I could add one other thing, Mr. Chairman.
Please
this
do.
Particular bill does not change any of that process.
Right.
Further questions? Are you okay, Representative Russell? Okay. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm curious to the 35% number. I can certainly understand, you know, from the example that was given in with the soil and such, that you had to go redo sewers and so on, and it, you know, cost a 25% overrun on that. So maybe you could talk a little bit about, you know, why the 35%, and then what happens if it's 40%?
Mr. Please. Chairman, Brian Heisel, Mitchell Area Development. Let me respond briefly to that, if I may. When talking with Department of Revenue in terms of this, they felt that there should be, if the project is doubling in cost or something's seriously wrong with the cost estimates, we do try to build contingency. You hope your cost estimates are within 10%. That preliminary engineering has, but one of the things that from 2005, PVC prices jumped 35%, and I'm not saying that's why we picked it, but they jumped 35% in 4 years. Now, we went back and looked at the history of that, and they said if a project is going to be a third more expensive because of time over the window of construction, you cannot build anything after a five-year period, we would understand that there's some inflation. And usually, you try to build that normally into the contingency fund. But wild swings in commodities, and if that is the case, then what the Department of Revenue really was saying that if you're extending it more than 30-35%, there's got to be a circuit breaker in this where you've completely changed the cost structure. And while we original draft did not have a percent in it, we certainly compromised and said that we understand that there needs to be a specific percent. If it goes to 40, what happens is you have to ask the Department of Revenue come back, and they have to recertify the site, meaning they have to establish what's on that and what's being taxed. And if you've already built the building, you essentially are going to have to find another place to fund those costs, because that building is the basis of the increment, the new facility that the private sector or manufacturer has put in. So if it's 39%, we had agreed that at that point there's going to have to be a very serious discussion between the development and the local officials about how to get additional infrastructure in, because it essentially destroys the increment that you were using to already pay off bonds or debt, because that building is maybe partially complete or have already been in for a couple of years. I hope that helps. Thank you.
Did you have a follow-up, Representative?
And if I might, Mr. Chairman, add to that, just so that you know, because I don't see the department in the room. I think they're on your House floor instead. We had two or three conference calls with them as we worked through the right version of this bill for their purposes. They actually are the ones that recommended a circuit breaker, and they're the ones that recommended the 35% number, that they thought that would cover most of the things that passed the smell test in local communities on projects like this. So we were thankful, actually, that the department came up with that number.
Representative Wilson, you good? Representative Nostrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the cost goes up, say 35%, I assume the payback period would go up 35%, and then this particular building would not go on the tax rolls for an extra 35% time period. Would that be correct math?
Brian and Don?
Gentlemen?
The Brian Heisel, Mitchell Development. No, it does not extend the time frame. You have a five-year window to do your project, and that's it. And we didn't change that section of the law. So the 35% relates to cost. And actually, you've noted the problem in that you have a window to get a development park or infrastructure in. A building has helped you start that process, and then another project comes in, and your project costs change. It does not extend the time frame in terms of the cash flows from the new building for property taxes. You have a limit, and that limit stays in place.
Joe, follow-up, Representative?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure we went down the right path on the question or the answer, so let me try again. As we create a new building, and on that particular land there was no building prior to that, the new taxes that are now due because of the new building are used to pay off the project. Therefore, if the project becomes more expensive, doesn't the payback period on the bonds increase at the same rate.
Thank you. Thank you for the clarification, Brian Heisel, Mitchell Development. Yeah, it could. It could. Yes, it could. Where you may be looking at a 10 or 12 year payback period, suddenly it's 13 or 14. That very well could occur. In most cases, you try to be very conservative on, remember, we're also estimating the property taxes on the new facility, and you try to be very conservative on those estimates, and most of our tax increment districts have paid early, or many of them do, because you don't want to miss that projection. That's the key to paying off loans or bonds. So it could extend it, but in many, many cases, there was extra increment built in, and it pays off early. But it would, it could potentially extend the period of time.
And if I may add, this is Don Peterson again, Mr. Chairman. The proposed amendment will still have to go back through the channels, and so if we were in front of a city, it would have to go back to the City Planning Commission for their approval, and then the City Council for their approval, and they can either approve or disapprove, and they can certainly take that into consideration in deciding whether or not to allow the amendment to the project plan. This fix does not affect that, their ability to approve or disapprove of the proposed amendment.
Thank you. Are you good, Representative?
I'm good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other questions? Seeing no further questions, I will close that portion of the testimony on Senate Bill 112, and at this time open it up for committee discussion or action. Representative Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move due pass on SB 112.
Second.
That motion is due pass on Senate Bill 112 by Representative Rosen, seconded by Representative Willitson. Did you have any comments on your motion?
Just briefly, this, I think we can see that SB 112 is positive for development. And now that we've, Mitchell and Yankton, I believe, are the two cities that first discovered this, we've had many more cities that are in the same boat. So I think anything we can do for development, we need to do. And this is a step in that direction. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Rosen. Representative Nolftrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be supporting this. Oh, I do see a problem. The problem is when things become more expensive, there has to be a way to pay for it. And the way that we've talked about is the bonds will be paid off over a longer period of time. And I'm going to trust the locals to deal with that. And I'm going to trust the developers and the local decision makers to make that through the process, as a challenge is going to be had as we have an unexpected cost increase.
Thank you. Any other comments on the due pass motion? Seeing no further comments, the motion at hand is due pass on Senate Bill 112. All in favor will say aye. All opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Bartling.
Aye.
Beal.
Aye.
Duvall.
Aye.
Hager. Excused.
Yeah, he's excused.
Killer. Excused. Kirschman.
Aye.
Lateral. Excused. May.
Excused.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Rasmussen?
Aye.
Russell?
No.
Wick? Excused. Willitson?
Aye.
Rosem?
Aye.
Solem?
Aye.
There were 9 yay, 1 nay, and 5 excused. No. Yeah, that's right.
Having received a majority of the vote of the members-elect, Senate Bill 112 passes. Thank you, gentlemen, for being with us this morning on the phone. We certainly appreciate your input.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, that takes care of our bill business for the morning. And I don't foresee any more bills coming to the Tax Committee, but I will make you aware of that should something like that happen. The last portion, as noted on our minutes, on our agenda, was to discuss any interim study issues that we might like to address either as an individual or as a committee. And at this time, I would just simply open it up for discussion amongst the committee members. Do you have any ideas for interim summer study committees? Any special issues that we would like to address?
I do.
Representative Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't think this is specific to tax. I'm not sure what committee it would be. But I think the meth issue is just becoming larger and larger and larger. And I know in Davidson County, if this has gone on for years, that we don't have enough people to deal with it. We don't have to find the meth labs. And then the other problem that I think we're seeing, and I'm only hearing this secondhand because I just heard it, but and I will follow through on it with Denny Kamek as well, but in the drug courts, the people that are checking in and not subscribing to what's going on but yet not being reported. I just think meth is becoming such a huge problem that I'm not sure how we deal with it. I'm not sure if it is a summer study, but as we see the headlines today and see what's happening in the women's prison, I think we need to talk about it.
Thank you, Representative. Yeah, I think that would be an awesome subject. Probably more in tune with, well, I don't know how we would go at that, whether it be through judiciary or a Health and Human Services, you know, to address the actual addiction portion as opposed to maybe anything out of the judicial area. Okay, thank you, Representative. Any other subjects that we might like to address? I see none here on behalf of the committee. I think you all have been given an interim study committee request form. Give this a little thought over the weekend, and if there's something that may tweak your curiosity, please feel free to fill this out, and you can either give it to me or pass that through your respective leaderships, and we'll get that submitted to the LRC. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Do you do this?
No, we're going to do it right now.
Chairman?
We're going to do it right now. And are we singing songs? Do you have music on your TV that we're going to karaoke this morning?
I'm kind of famous for music.
Yes, I know you are.
There's something that some of us thought in reference to our time with you in the committee.
Okay, I will give you that latitude and make your electronic device sound off. Make
second
it sing.
Here, we got to do a little bit of.
I'm a little nervous with two technology geeks down there. Yeah. Is this something we can do on the internet, gentlemen?
You can shut that off.
Oh, no, we won't. We haven't adjourned yet.
Would you like to adjourn?
No. Well,
we don't have any further business.
No. I have one piece of business that I would like to go on record. You know, through this whole process, we've had some outstanding help from our LRC folks over here. Amanda, Liz, we certainly appreciate what you do for us. You know, we like to feel here in tax that we're a well-oiled machine, okay? And we get through our business in a timely manner, but I'll tell you what, the mechanics are sitting right over here, the two mechanics that keep this machine running. And I certainly appreciate your assistance. And with that, this is from the committee as a whole. Amanda and Liz,
thank you very much.
Enjoy. You guys deserve it. And I think they deserve a round of applause. Very good. So keep up the good work.
Excuse me.
You bet. Well, okay. We're going to get to that point of adjournment. And for this chair, this is the last time I'm going to rap the gavel in the House of Representatives. Since I'm termed out, I can't be on the ballot in the fall, and I absolutely appreciate your indulgence and expertise over the last couple of years, actually, as the chairman. So thank you very much. Give a round of applause. Did you have a comment, Representative May? Oh, please.
I do. I just want to tell you how much I appreciate your leadership on this committee. You did a very good job. We don't always agree, but I appreciate the leadership that you brought. So, and you're going to be missed. If I come back, too, you're going to be missed. So,
thank you, Representative. I appreciate that.
Chairman?
Representative Beal. That's hesitant, Representative Beal.
Some of us have talked a little bit, and we had a little bit of a song that kind of went along with your chairmanship of the committee, and wanted you to know, just hear, just I'll play it just shortly. Here we go.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down. Big lake they call Gitchikumi.
Anyways, Chairman, I have two tickets to Gordon Lightfoot in Sioux Falls that I'll be presenting to you from all of us.
Wow.
That's in a couple of,
wow,
couple of weeks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, and I know that song, and with Captain Radio's in, the hatches gave way, and I can see this whole ship heading for the bottom, and so
it's going to be in all our heads for the rest of the day.
I know that, you know, and the thing that really concerns me is the rats are the first one to jump. Okay, all right. With that,
move adjourned.
Second.
That motion to adjourn by Representative Rosen, seconded by Representative Duvall. All in favor of that motion?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Here we go.